Our scripture reading this morning comes from the first chapter of John, beginning in verse 43. Listen now and hear God's word for us. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for your word spoken long ago and yet new every day. Give us again the gift of hearing your voice through these words. May they be a conduit for your spirit to enter our lives and take root, growing and giving glory to you. Amen. As in all the Gospels, John begins by telling the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. Immediately before this passage we just heard, Jesus invites two unnamed followers to come and see. Turns out that one of them is Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. When Andrew shares the news, Peter comes to follow Jesus also. The next day, they all go to Galilee. They find Philip, who happened to grow up in Bethsaida with Andrew and Peter, and Jesus calls him to follow as well. Nathanael's call comes less directly, first through Peter. Through Philip. "Come and see," Philip says. "We have found the one about whom Moses and the prophets spoke." Nathanael is skeptical. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? As if Cana and Nazareth were old high school rivals with nothing kind to say about one another. Can anything good come out of Maryville? But Jesus has a hunch about Nathanael. "Where did you get to know me?" Nathanael asks. In other words, what is it that you see in me? Do you have something to offer me that could give purpose to my life? "Truly I tell you," Jesus says, "you have no idea what's in store if you'll come and follow me." I serve on the Committee on Ministry for the Presbytery of East Tennessee. At our meeting earlier this week, we interviewed Bill Carl, whom many of you know, as he transfers his membership to this presbytery. It's a standard thing and never a lot of drama, especially with someone like Bill, who is honorably retired after an entire career serving the Presbyterian Church. But we ask everyone to submit a statement of faith, which becomes a part of the examination discussion. Bill's was as orthodox as could be, but he used a trio of words that caught my attention. He said that his own life was a reflection of belonging, believing, and behaving. And I've been pondering those words all week alongside this story of the calling of Nathanael. When you read the other call stories in the Bible, a pattern emerges. It seems that every time God calls someone, they immediately have a change of heart, drop whatever they're doing, and life is never the same. Elisha leaves the plow and never looks back. Matthew walks away from his tax collecting business. Abraham and Sarah pack up and head off across the desert. James and John leave their father Zebedee in the boat to run the family business himself. But Nathanael's story is different. And it suggests to me that coming to faith is not a one-size-fits-all pattern. Everyone enters through a different door of belonging, believing, or behaving. Let me see if I can describe that. A lot of my own Christian formation came through a youth organization that put a great emphasis on believing. It involved making a decision for Christ as personal Lord and Savior and praying a particular prayer and standing up at a summer camp meeting to announce that you had become a Christian. And if you're one of those people for whom something like that worked, I'm glad for you. And I trust that making that decision was an important moment that led to being a part of a faith community and living a life that reflects the life of Christ. But for me, even before my involvement with that group, I had been raised in the church. And there were congregations in Chicago and Kansas City and Houston that had embraced me and put up with a lot of ridiculous antics and actions on my part while God's irresistible grace worked on me. Because even at my worst, those people never told me I didn't belong. They loved me into understanding God's love. So in my case, belonging paved the way for believing and behaving. In her memoir, Take This Bread, Sarah Miles talks about her own faith journey that led to starting a food pantry at her church in San Francisco. Much like our welcome table, it is open to anyone. And in their case, the communion table serves as the vegetable stand. Sarah had never been raised in the church, and so it was as surprising to her as anyone when she found herself taking her first communion at the age of 46 and having her life turned completely upside down as a result. In the book, she comments about the practice in many churches of putting the baptismal font right at the front as you enter the building, as if to say, do not pass go until you believe and profess the right things and are baptized. In fact, in the early church, new converts to the faith studied and prepared in the 40 days prior to Lent, so 40 days of Lent, so that they could be baptized on the night prior to Easter and just enter the sanctuary for the first time on Easter Day. Contrast all of that to Jesus, she says, who never baptized anyone and instead sought out and welcomed and dined with unprepared, unreformed, unwashed sinners. The first place Jesus meets anyone is usually at a dinner table, where they learn that they are welcome long before they ever come to believe. That leads me back to Nathanael. When Philip says, come and see, does Nathanael suddenly experience a conversion moment? Maybe, although I doubt it. I think he's just curious. He wonders about Jesus. Come and see is an invitation, not a hard sell. It's not a list of what he'll have to do or change, just an offer to take a closer look. So maybe Nathanael belongs first before he ever comes to believe. You know, we hear almost nothing about Nathanael after this one little story. He's never listed among the 12 disciples. He's never credited with any miracles or missionary journeys. He's never mentioned in any of the other three gospels. In fact, other than this one passage, Nathanael appears in only one other place in the Bible. That's in the very last chapter of John's Gospel. He is named as one of the fishermen who haul in the miraculous catch of fish when Jesus calls to them from the shoreline. Something about that suggests to me that Nathaniel, in those 20 chapters, has made that move from curiosity to belief, from belonging to behaving, to being one of Jesus's faithful disciples. So while the 12 get all the press, remember that there were a whole lot of other people like Nathaniel who listened to and were captivated by Jesus, but found ways to be faithful in the course of their everyday lives. None of you ever met my dad, who passed away about 6 months before I moved to Maryville. He was a CPA by training and a financial executive for a natural gas pipeline. He was a child of the Depression who worked hard to provide for his family. But for most of his life, Paige Anderson was not much of a churchgoer. He didn't have anything against the church. He just didn't see a lot of use for it. He was happy to come to worship occasionally, but he never served on a board or taught Sunday school or even went to a Sunday school class. That was all my mom's bailiwick. My dad was able to take early retirement at 62. He played golf a couple of times a week and fiddled with his investments and played a lot of solitaire on the computer. I don't know where or why, but somewhere along in that retirement, he discovered that you could not purchase paper products with food stamps. That means toilet paper, soap, paper towels. Parents could not buy diapers for their children. My dad thought that was just inexcusable, and so he started taking his minivan to Sam's Club about once a month, filling it up with toilet paper and diapers, and delivering it to the local social services organization to stock their pantry. Well, you know what happens. You show up to volunteer enough, and pretty soon you end up on a committee. In my dad's case, it was the board for the West Houston Assistance Ministry. And it wasn't long before they realized he had some real skills in organizational development. And the next thing he knew, they were asking if he would serve as the interim executive director. That interim job lasted for 6 years, and he made some significant changes. Dad said it was the most important thing he ever did. But more than the changes he made, that job changed him. Suddenly, a guy who had spent a career in the corporate hallways of the oil and gas business learned about neighbors whose paychecks did not stretch far enough to feed their families. And he came to see what happens when worship on Sunday morning spills out the door into the streets for the rest of the week. My dad, it turns out, was one of the most faithful people I've ever known. He didn't talk about it a lot. He wasn't big on words, but he behaved his way into believing and belonging. The poet Maya Angelou once said, "When you know better, you do better." And I can't argue with that. But for me, sometimes I have to do better before I know better. I have to get my hands and feet out ahead of my heart and my head because it takes them a little while to catch up. Sometimes behaving, at least for me, has to precede believing or belonging. In a nation as divided as ours right now, with threats of violence and impeachment and pandemic fears and racial tensions that are far from settled, it seems to me that it's not enough to just believe in Christ, not enough to just belong to Christ. The world needs to see us behave like Christ. That means loving our neighbors, loving our enemies, because we love God. That's how we let others come and see. May God give us the grace and the courage. Amen.